Lila, Nancy, Prescott, Satchwell. June 18, 1932, in Burley, Idaho.
Twyla Satchwell is a faithful, happy, lovely woman with an amazing family and some great stories. She's lived her entire life in Idaho, mostly on the family farm, where she raised six hardworking kids with her husband, Bill. She's a Utah Jazz fan, a master seamstress and crafter, has served in the church tirelessly, and is a devout follower of Christ. Her story begins with her large family in Burley, Idaho.
Mother's name was Hannah Lorena Wixom Prescott. My father was James Thomas Prescott. I was number nine in the lineup. My older two sisters were married and out of the home when I come along. And so my niece would have been 6 weeks older than me.
Twyla had an aunt who passed away and left her children in the care of James and Hannah. Altogether, they raised 16 kids.
And she asked Father if anything ever happened to her, would he take their children? And he said, of course. And they did. And so they raised at least 16 of us. They had three little girls, their own little girl and two nieces that were 2 years old at the same time. And so I grew up with a big family. We always had a lot of siblings to play with. We didn't have a lot of material things, but we had lots of love in our home. It was wonderful. I enjoyed my childhood. It was fun. And of course, we didn't have a modern bathroom or anything when I was young. That was out of the question. We just didn't have it. I know we had an outhouse and we didn't even have toilet paper. They didn't have such a thing. But we had the catalog from Sears or Montgomery Ward, and that's what we used. So I just had a lot of experiences. But we were always raised in the church. My mother loved the Lord and our Savior so much, and she taught us to say our prayers, pay our tithing, do all of those things. It was a big part of our life. My father wasn't a church-going man. He'd go sometimes, but not all the time. But he always supported everything we did and believed in that. He paid tithing. He did that. My parents, I think, had seven children when they were able to go to the temple down in Logan and be sealed and have the children sealed to him. We had an acreage and stuff, and my father had a team of horses, and he went up into the canyons and chopped down the logs and brought down to make our house. We poured a basement when I was real young. We lived in the basement. And so a log rolled over and broke his leg in two places, and they wanted to amputate it, and he wouldn't let them. And so I never remember my father ever walking without crutches. Our stove had wood as how we heated. And so Father would get up and get that all going and stuff and get the fire warmed up and stuff in the morning. And then Father played the harmonica, and we'd love to listen to him do that. When we were children, he'd take a green limb off of a tree, and I cut it in sections and slip the skin off and make a whistle out of it. We thought that was pretty cool. He just had a lot of fun, and he was a very gentle, gentle man. I only saw my father angry twice in my whole life, and he loved children. He just did, and mother did too. They just shared a lot of love in our life. My mother wanted to go to school so bad, and she only got to go to the third grade, and her father says girls don't need that. They just need to have homemaking skills. And her mother was ill quite a bit, so mother had to quit school. And so it was important to her that we all got an education, and every 2 weeks we'd go to the library and check out a bunch of books, and Mother taught us to love books and love learning and stuff. My childhood was a good childhood. We didn't have a lot of material things, but it was okay. I had a fun childhood. I enjoyed it. Our mother wanted us to be at home, so we weren't allowed to go to the neighbor's house or something, but all of them could come to our house was fine. She said, I want to just be able to look out and know you're okay. And so that was the rule, is our family stayed home. And my one sister lived down the street from us a ways, and once in a while we got to go down there and play for a little while. But I grew up with a lot of children, and I just loved it. It was so fun. I remember one time I left my doll out on the lawn, and Mother would say, if you can't take better care of that, then we'll just put her up. And she tied a ribbon around her tummy and hung her on a hook for a couple of days. And boy, I never ever left her down after that. But my name is Twyla Nancy, and I was named after a lady. Her name was Nancy, and she lived in the place next to us. And because I was named after her, she gave me 2 baby goats. And, oh man, I love those little goats. But they'd get up, and Dad had an old Model T Ford with an old tar-like kind of top on it, and they kept getting up on it. And he said, if they don't quit, they're going to go bye-bye. And I thought, oh, Daddy. Well, they just kept doing it. So he did get rid of them. And I was little enough that I didn't know where they went. I just knew they were gone. And I know I'd say, naughty, naughty Daddy for taking them away, you know. But that was the first things that I remember. And I know I must have been about, 2 or 3 maybe. I just loved to write, but and I wanted it to be perfect. And for years, I was proud of the way it looked, and I'd love to do it, and it was a fun thing to do. And so under pictures and different things that I've written on when I could write, and it was really pretty, but I wrote a story. I'd been to a summer camp Mother had sent me to wean me away from her as much as anything, but I was so homesick I cried and cried. One of the ladies used to rock me to try to get me to quit crying and eat, because I wouldn't eat. And when I got there, she was a teacher at the school, and I had wrote this play, and she read it, and she said, Twyla, I want you to put this on for the school, and you can direct it and stuff. And so I don't even remember what it was about, but I did, and I got to pick the play, and we put it on for the whole school, and it was pretty exciting for me to do that. I used to make up stories when I'd sleep with my 2 sisters. They'd say, tell us a story. And so, I don't know, it was just fun then to make it up, because I'd done lots and lots of reading from the libraries. And so I had ideas then that could go. When I was in high school, I walked 16 blocks to school every day, winter, summer, and all. I graduated Burley High School. I didn't go to college, but I did graduate from school and from seminary. And I sang in the singing group we were. And our high school had roller skates, so we did get to roller skate and stuff. And we got to go to the college and perform for them up there. And I love singing, so most of my things were in singing rather than athletics. So many fun things in my life. My father always had a pocket with pink peppermints. And so the children, when they'd come, they'd always run to Grandma and give her a big love and then run over to Grandpa, because he always had him a pink peppermint. And then Father and Mother's bedroom was next to us girls that always slept together. And my youngest brother was Howard. And at night, Dad would go to bed a little early and he'd snuggle him up to him. And he sang a little song about a little Indian maiden. And I wish I knew the words. I've tried and tried to remember, because I used to think, oh, that was so sweet to hear Father's voice and singing that song to my little baby brother, because he was 8 years old when Father died. But he passed away when I was 17. A heart attack, I guess. He'd been down to my sister's running her restaurant while they went on vacation down at Hazleton. And Father had come home because we got water once a week. And so he'd come home to water the yard. And he got the yard watered and stuff and laid down on the sofa because he'd got up really early to come home. And he just passed away in his sleep. A neighbor came over and tried to rouse him up and couldn't. And he was gone. He just gone that quick. It was a shock to us because he died when he was 63. Now, I know that seems probably old, but it's not for now, especially with me. I'm 92 now.
After losing her father at such a young age, Twyla went to work with her mom cleaning to earn some extra money.
Her and I cleaned offices. We did my doctor's offices. We did J.R. Simplot, who had an office up above the bank. We cleaned it for him before he ever became famous and stuff. And that's how I earned some spending money, and how she did too. She's a good, good mama, I tell you. If I was half as good as her, I'd be okay. I said if she had a flaw, I don't know what it was. I don't know. She just was the sweetest, loving, kind person. She never, ever criticized nobody, ever. A busy, busy lady, very, very loving and soft-spoken. And I know one of my children asked me if Mother played games with us, and you know, I said, I can't remember her ever doing it. She had too many things to do. She said, I'm going to make a quilt for each of my 12 children. And Father said, you see this $2 bill? He said, if you do, I'll give you this $2 bill. I still have it. And she did. She made a quilt for all 12 of her children. In those days, you know, they used everything. When something wore out, they'd take the parts that weren't worn out and make them into something else. And so we learned how to do canning and lots of things that were household things. Back in the old days when they had the old wringer washers and all of these things, hanging our clothes, all that on the clothesline, sewing and embroidery work and a lot of craft. And she taught me how to iron. We started out with iron and pillowcases and stuff and then went on. But we just did everything. Our family helped. We had a huge garden, and everyone was assigned so many rows. Even when I was engaged to get married, I still had two or three rows that were mine to see that they were done and took care of. And then Mother canned a lot because we had a big family.
It was during these high school days that Twyla met her sweetheart.
He was from Albion, Idaho. I was from Burley, and then we'd gone to a ball game at our school, and we had this place we used to hang out, all the kids did. It was called the Rainbow Cafe, and I was with three other girls and a sister-in-law, and we went there to get us a drink after the game was over, and he and his friend, Brack, was his best friend from Albion, and they come in and come over and started talking to us and stuff. They said, let us take you home. And I, no way, man. I was taught you don't just go with strangers nowhere. And so anyway, the others said, oh, we'll just go and let them take us home. I did, but I wouldn't tell them where I lived because I didn't know who they were. And I had him take me to my sister-in-law's apartment, which was two blocks from our house, because I didn't want him to know. But my girlfriend told him and drove by my house. So he showed up the next day and wanted to go out on a date. And I thought, no way, I don't know you. And I was at the time dating a fellow from Blackfoot. His father was the bishop. And my husband wouldn't take no for an answer. And my husband come up and sat next to me in the show and put his arm around me. And I thought, what are you doing? You know, I was the one he wanted and he was going to get me. And finally, I started to, I admired his friendship and stuff with others and how easy he could talk and stuff. And I think I met him, oh, it was probably, I'm going to say maybe I knew him for 8 months before I really got looking at him seriously, you know. And then when he asked me to marry him, I said, if you'll marry me in the temple, otherwise no. And so he took the lessons and he joined the church. My husband's 3 months younger than me. And we were engaged during our senior year. And we wanted to get married, but our folks said, no, 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 you're going to finish school. And so we graduated towards the end of May. And then every week after graduation during the month of June, either me or one of my girlfriends were married every week. We went to the temple, was married in the Idaho Falls Temple in 1950. We did have a reception and stuff. It was at the Third Ward Church in Burley. And I had a neighbor friend that she said, or a lady in our ward that was a friend, and she said, Twyla, let me make your wedding dress for your wedding gift. And so we bought the fabric and took it, and she made the dress for me. I made the head thing that I wore, but she made my dress. My happiness is the name of our song. Evening shadows make me blue when I wish I was there with you. Anyway, and it goes on. It's just been real special. This year we would have been married 74 years.
Evening shadows make me blue when each weary day is through. How I long to be with you.
He loved people. After we moved here, if anybody needed anything fixed, they'd say, call Bill. And he can do it. He can, and he has. He's helped remodel every house on this street except three. They turned garages into family rooms and, oh, so many. He knew everybody's first name. He shared garden with them and stuff. He loved people. He just did. And that's one thing I admired so much about him is because he says, no matter how much you've got or how much you haven't got, you still put your pants on 1 foot at a time. So there's no reason to not speak to people and get acquainted with them. He said, if you don't, you miss out. And so that's one thing I really admired about him is he just loved people. My husband's been gone now. He died in 2013. So it's been a lonely time for me, but I understood because his patriarchal blessing said he'd be here until the Lord had work for him to do on the other side, then he'd be called home. And so he got sick one day, the next day he was dead. And it was just happened so fast. And I've got his patriarchal blessing in my Book of Mormon and I read all the time. I have it there with me. And so I know he was called home because the Lord needed him on the other side. We were in Albion. He was working for his uncle that owned a bunch of land up at Albion, where the college is and all of the land west of there, clear back into the mountains and everything he owned. And so he was working for him. And so we were up there, but I got so homesick for my mama because I was terrible attached to my mother. And so I think we lived up there, maybe a month and a half because I had my little sister come up and stay with me because I was homesick to go home. And finally, Bill says, I give up. He says, we'll just move down there so we'll be closer to your mother. And so we did, and he worked for a Rambo tire shop and stuff for a couple of years. And then that's when his father worked for the highway department all his life. And so that's why, and Bill got a job there then. And so then he did that.
Very quickly, Twyla and Bill's little family began to grow.
I found out I was pregnant about a month later after we got married. And I was so tickled to death. At one time when we had our first three children, I was in the Relief Society presidency. He was in the bishopric. We were 27 and had the children and stuff. We built a brand new home ourselves. Did every bit, all of the work, except for we didn't know how to do sheetrock then. So we hired two things done and we did all the rest. And we started it on the 30th of May about and moved in it at Christmas time, finished. And I said we were just so blessed by the Lord to be able to do everything we had to do. And of course, he had a job. And then we just traded the new home we'd built and the other home that we had. And we traded both of those for the farm. And so when we moved on the farm, like I said, it was real rustic condition, but we didn't owe any money on it. We didn't get all of our dreams done that we wanted to build the new house and all this stuff, but that's okay. It had an outhouse, and that was all. Teresa, she said, Mother, I'm not going to use the bathroom till we go back over to Grandma's. And I thought, good luck, honey. But Daddy still had his job on the State Highway Department. He worked for them for 37 years. He said, as soon as I get the crops all in and stuff, he said, then we'll put a bathroom in. We were always going to tear the main house down because it had two log rooms. That was the original. And then they built a bedroom and a kitchen on and stuff. But we were always going to tear it down and build new. We lived there 17 years, never could afford to do it. Oh, my gosh, we had so many experiences on that farm with the kids and with animals. And my children are workaholics, if anything. They just work so hard and always have. It's just, that's the way things were. We had animals, we milked cows, we had horses, we had pigs, chickens, turkeys, you name it, we had them. Dad was going to kill the turkeys because they kept getting up on top of, they'd fly up on the lean-to on our house. And so he said, okay, it's time. And so he told my son Tony and me to hold their wings because he tied the turkeys up there and he says, now I'm just going to stick them in the throat. And he says, but you two hold on to their wings so they don't batter them and bruise the wings. Well, I'll tell you what, turkeys can lift you up off the ground and flop you up and down. They did. And I thought, oh, my heck. But we raised little bum lambs. The neighbors had little lambs when the mother would sometimes have twins, and she'd only take one. And so we had the big old round tin tub and we put straw in it and bring the little lambs home and fed them with a pop bottle that had a nipple on the end and stuff. And the kids all learned to love animals even when they had to milk and stuff. Dad said they need to learn to do that. So that's why we moved to the farm. So because he always had to milk all his life. And he said, the kids need the experience and stuff. But we had an old dirt cellar out in front of our house, and that was where they kept the fruit and stuff, and it was dirt. It's just dirt inside of there. And, of course, we didn't have water heater and stuff like that till a while later. So Daddy was still working his full-time job. And then in the wintertime, he'd come from his job on the highway and go over to the sugar factory for extra funds, and then worked an 8-hour shift there, come home and slept and got up and went to the next day. And he did that every year in the fall from November till February at the sugar factory. So he was a hard-working man, but he played. He just loved to hunt and loved to fish. And so our kids have grown up hunting and fishing with Daddy. I went with him too. We traveled up and down the mountains, and I'd never done anything like that because my father wasn't a hunter at all. And so it was all new for me. At first, when we started, I'd follow him along and had a book in my hand, and I'd go along the creek and I'd sit and read it, and while he fished, and when he'd move, I'd move down a ways further. And then finally he said, "You ought to try it, it's fun, you know." And so he taught me to fish, so I learned to like it. My girls are 13 years apart. Teresa was the oldest, and then we had four children, and we didn't have any children for about 7 years, and I thought, I guess that's all the family we're going to have. And then bang, bang, I had the next two had one, and the next year had the other one, our last two children, a boy and a girl. And so we loved them. They were sweet kids. When the little last two were growing up, the other children were in school most of the time. So three of us were at home alone a lot together. And so we shared a lot of things together. We've always played games a lot. My family just loved games. And so we've always played that a lot. And board games and different ones. And then we used to have church in the day morning and then go back for sacrament meeting in the evening. But I'd always had a dinner prepared at dinner time. And then for supper, we'd always had a big old bowl of popcorn and stuff. And I can't remember having, we must have had some Kool-Aid or something. We just had lots of fun experiences the kids still talk about back on the farm. And it was some good times. Tough times, but good times. One year we had this crop of corn. Father had grown to feed the animals and stuff, and we couldn't afford to go hire it done. So when the kids would go to school, then they'd come home. Even into the fall, Dad had this big dump truck out in the center of the corn patch, and we'd come home and strip off that corn and put it in the trailer. And the kids hated that, and I did too, but he said, we can't afford to hire it done, so we got to a bit. And we hoed beets together as a family. We just did a lot of things that were work. But anyway, and I guess that's why our children learned to work so much. Teresa was our first one, and I got pregnant with her within a month or something after we were married. And then she's always been my spiritual staff. I could call her and talk to her, and she could always put my mind aright. She's been very special to me all my life. She still is that person for me. We did lots and lots of things together. And in those days, we used to travel down to get our glasses and all different kind of things to Salt Lake. So we'd go down there, and the only thing that he regretted is we were always later coming home than we were supposed to. We were supposed to be home before dark, and sometimes it was 1 o'clock by the time we got home, because we just found so many fun things to do. And then my second son is Randy, got up by himself at 5 a.m. and did his studies, and he had to have a straight A or nothing else was good enough, and he did. Oh, so many things. He had a bicycle accident when he was young, and he had a face guard on, and our coach was our neighbor, and he was following along behind, and Randy book started to slip, and he went to pick it up and crashed into the gravel, and that was a bad thing, but he's always excelled in his school, and he did in college. When he got to college, he had a scholarship, and he did excellent there, and he still does. Tony is my fix-it son that can fix and do anything. He can build anything. When he was just young, he helped me remodel some in our house, and oh my gosh, just so skilled in so many ways, and he's always been just a blessing to me and in my life. And then Terry came along, and he's my child that I thought I'd never raise him because he'd get killed. He rode bicycles, these bikes, racers. And I thought, oh my gosh. I used to worry, I really did. I thought, he's going to get killed. He got run over, he broke his leg. They called me from the hospital one time and said, your son is in here and his cast is broken. And I thought, how did it get broken? He said, Mother, I just fell and stumbled. And I said, Terry. He said, okay, I was trying to ride the bike again and I fell. He was a challenge, but he's our son that grew up to be a bishop. And I know I said, Terry, you worry me. I'm afraid you're never even going to get to live to be an adult. And he said, Mama, I haven't lost my testimony. I know I'm not going because I raced on Sunday sometime. And I worried, but it was okay. It come out right in the end. He was grown and I was somewhere and they said, Satchwell, that name's familiar. Do you happen to know Terry Satchwell? And I said, yes, he's my son. They said, oh, man, it was so cool. He rode his bike up the steps through the English building and out and down the other side. And I said, he did what? This was years later. I didn't even know he'd done it. And then I had Renee and Chris, and they've always been close. They were together so much, and that was wonderful. Renee, oh, my gosh. She just has always been a hard worker. She can do so many things. She's so talented and gifted in so many ways. We made a lot of dolls and stuff together, and she is such a gifted lady. Oh, my gosh, she is so talented in so many ways. She has a beautiful home, a gorgeous home. You drive past hers and people just ooh and ah at the flower arrangement she has outside. And she's always loved dogs. And she used to raise them when she lived up in Alaska. She was up there for several years. And she loves animals. They've got animals out on their, they have an acreage and stuff out on Machard. But she's always been an animal lover, but she is so talented and gifted in so many ways. And Chris is a dentist. He has built businesses for dentists and stuff. He owns a practice here in Pocatello. He owns a big practice up in Nampa. He's accomplished so much in his life. And he's had so many accidents. One night he was driving and a big buffalo popped up in front of him and hit his car and crushed it. I said, honey, I still feel like his father must have come back and protected him, because they said how he ever got out of that car alive, I'll never know. He's been just very special to me. My children have just been such a joy to me. And I thought you could never love anybody as much as you do your children. Oh, my gosh, I tell you, these grandchildren and great-grandchildren, they all come with their own love. They just bless our life so much. I just hope they remember me for my children being my most blessed blessing, and my grandchildren and stuff. They have been everything to me in life, and I love them so much. I think the hardest thing I've ever been through is at one time my husband just said, honey, we're never going to make it. We're not going to make it back to our Father in heaven. There's just too much things going on. And he just lost hope a little bit and was inactive for a while. And that was the hardest thing I've ever gone through, to know that it seemed like he was losing his testimony. And so it would only happen for a couple of years, and then the Lord sent us up to northern Idaho, and he went in the bishopric. He did just came completely over it. He was over the highways from Montana to Coeur d'Alene, and oh my gosh, it's a chosen part of our life that we had there. My husband was over two sheds, we call them, because they were men. He had so many men in one and stuff. We'd get 17 feet of snow up there in the winter time. Oh, my gosh. he was over that, and we had the big ski lodge that they kept plowed out and everything. And as trucks had come through from other states up there and stuff, if they had accident, he had to go and investigate all of that stuff. But he loved doing it, and we loved being there. We were there 12 years, and it was wonderful. Renee was in the 9th grade, and Chris was in the 8th grade. Now, Chris didn't mind moving as much because he makes friends easily. Renee had her friends here that she'd grown up with since she was a baby, and she was in the Mike of Death, they call it, the marching thing and stuff, so she hated it when we moved. That's where she met her husband and stuff, so it turned out to be good. There was lots and lots of other churches, but we were really close in our ward because we were a minority. And my heck, we just had so much good things that came. I said, when we go back to visit, when we'd go back there, it had like almost disrupting the whole meeting when we walked in because they were so happy to see us. And I said, that's got to be how it is in heaven when we go and our friends and all of those that we've learned to love so much is there with us. And I said, that is so wonderful. It just was special. And still is. I keep in contact with some of them. And it still is special. Those years we had there were absolutely wonderful. Well, our children are all down this way, and we were traveling back and forth to visit with them and be with them. And so we just decided to retire. We decided we'd move back to Burley because that's where everybody was, and his parents were still alive and they were there. And so, but our son Tony was doing real estate, and he found this house. It was a fixer-upper and stuff. And he said, Mom, I think that'd be a good house for you and Dad. It's got potential. And so we thought, okay, we'll give it a try and just see how it goes. And we've been here for 33 years. So it worked out good.
Twyla's life has been full of adventure, including a few travel highlights.
We've traveled to Hawaii. We've been there 3 or 4 times, and we have been to the Caribbean, and we were on that cruise, and we were gone for 10, 12 days, and our son took us because he had earned top salesman, so he won this cruise, and that was awesome.
Another highlight of Twyla's life was making dolls with her daughter, Renee.
We started out doing that when she lived down in Winnemucca, and her husband was working in a laboratory down there. And so she met this lady that had these dolls, and so she did the fine eyelashes and stuff like this. She said, Mother, she needs somebody to sew clothes for those dolls that they're making. And she says, would you be interested? And I said, yeah, I'll try that. So that's how we did. We learned how to do these and how to pour them and fire them and stuff. I've made a doll for each of my granddaughters and stuff. They all have some. I just did a lot of making those dolls, and they were fun. We used to go to Reno and to all the doll shows and everything, and it was a fun, fun time in life. It was. I did a lot of embroidery work. I used to make all of my children little quilts when they were born. They were those ones that you just got the section in. I'd quilt them by hand and stuff and made them for them, and I just love doing sewing and stuff. For each of my daughter-in-laws, I made a blessing dress. Oh my gosh, they must have had, 15 yards of lace and stuff that was on. And everybody still has them. They still love them.
Together, Twyla and Bill served a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
We were called on a mission, and it was here in town, but we were up to the History Center for 2 years on a mission, and then we loved that. It was so fun to help people with their genealogy, and we learned so much and worked with wonderful people, and it was awesome. And then after we come back from that, then we were called to the cannery on a mission, and we spent 6 years there, And we were there more years than that, but that was how many years we were on missions there. And loved it, just loved it. We had different wards that had come in from out of town and was able to share so much with so many people in the church. Loved working with people and being around good people.
Twyla shared with me one of the impressive personal commitments she's made to show her devotion to God.
I'm a jazz fan. I love the jazz, and they're going through some tough times right now. But I promised the Lord I'd never watch a ball game on Sunday, and I don't. I don't ever watch anything on Sunday. That's the same as if I'm there. I don't care if I'm in my home watching it. It's the same as if I was at the ball game. So I've made a pact with my Father in heaven that on Sunday I do church. I do just something that feeds me spiritually because I want that in my life. I think the reason we can't know somebody is we need to know them so we can learn to love them. And that's how you do it, as you learn to know someone. And then the Lord fills your heart with love for that individual. And they're so special. I know I found that with my visiting teachers. I've went to some of the homes and I've found some of the most wonderful women you'll ever meet in your life. And they have had some of the hardest lives you'd ever know. And yet they're so loving and so kind. The Heavenly Father's always there. I don't know, no matter what or no matter how far off track you think you've got, He knows and He loves you and He wants you to come home to Him again. I know the Lord's with me. He is every day, no matter what or where I go. I pray for His guidance and He's there. He's there. He is. You just have to reach out and ask. We have a Father in heaven and a Savior, His Son, Jesus Christ. He loves us. He loves each and every one of them. Yes, we have faults that we have to learn to overcome, and that teaches us also. But He's always there, no matter what. You can always reach out to Him, and He's there. That's special to me, to know that He loves us so much and cares for us, and that's what I hope my children all know, that happiness is only found if through our Heavenly Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
As you've heard, Twyla has lived an amazing life full of love, hard work, and happiness. She has remained close with her Father in heaven and her Savior. She cares deeply about others, especially her husband, children, and grandchildren. She is a fantastic example of charity. A huge thank you to Twyla for allowing me to interview her and to Teresa and Mike Toner for making this possible. If there's someone that you would like to have featured on Hearing Our Heritage, email hearingourheritage@gmail.com or visit our website, hearingourheritage.com.